It's the Mike Wills Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the next edition of the Mike Wills Podcast. This is, I have no idea, May 7th, 2019. So, I have been working slowly towards getting a ham license, probably since, I think I got the book like last fall, I think. And I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show episode, whatever the hell you want to talk, whatever you want to call it, audio blog, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. I have been slowly working through that, and I finally kind of got to the point where I think I'm ready to take the test. I've been doing many sample tests, and I think the questions I'm failing on, I just kind of got to go back and kind of reread them. A ham test has to be 100% memorized, or at least 100%, you have to 100% understand it, so you can't use reference material, you can't use your phone, whatever, to look up answers. It has to be, you know, a closed book test, I guess is what you call it if you're in school. I've been kind of going through it, doing sample tests. I like to call them reference areas that I'm a little weak on. Some of it is like, what's the megahertz range for a high frequency band versus a VHF band. Things like that, that I something like that I kind of know now. But, where is it going with that? But ultimately, most of the questions I'm answering right, I'm answering typically around 85%, which is just above passing grade. You have to answer 23 right answers out of 20 or 35 total questions. So really, you know, if you really look at it, it's not that hard. I'm probably putting way too much studying into it even. But you kind of want to do it the first try. So I'm looking at that here in a couple weeks. And I was looking through my manual, and I seen that there was a ham radio store up in the Twin Cities area. Now, I know you're not from my area. When we say Twin Cities, it's Minneapolis, St. Paul, and they're the big metro area, and it's about an hour and a half away. So I found the testing place that's up in that area. I was like, well, I'll just swing by right away. Did a little more looking, and they're actually closed. Like, they retired. They're trying to clear up the store. And then there must have been some sort of a fire or something that kind of took out some of their inventory or remaining inventory. So, as I guess I'm not going to be stopping by. But the reason I was going to do that is because there's, like, dozens of radios out there, including dozens of handheld radios. Some people say, oh, you got to do the Japanese or the American models. Don't do those cheap Chinese ones. And then other people say, oh, the Chinese ones, they're great machines, but you do have to reprogram them so that they work with American frequencies. So, you know, the more you read into it, the more confused you get, especially when you don't really know what you're doing. So I thought, well, I'll just stop there and talk to them a little bit. Whether I buy from them or not, I don't know. But I would assume they had the, quote, higher class stuff. Well, since they're closed, I kind of came down to a certain model now. I'm hoping it's good. But a lot of these handhelds go from, like, the, quote, cheap Chinese one is, like $25 or $35. And then I think I seen a handheld for up to $800. So there's really a huge price gap. But I didn't want to dive into too deep without, you know, knowing if I'm going to like it. You know, if I don't go on the, what they call it, going in the frequencies much. Or if I'm not diving into trying to learn more about it, it's probably not worth me having a $200, $300, $400 radio. Plus, I can't necessarily afford that either. So, I'm going to... I think I found what I'm going to get. It's under $100. It's at least be a good starter point. I know one guy I talked to, he said, you got to go digital. Everyone's going digital now. And, yeah... But I don't want to have that big of that. It wasn't even that expensive of a radio per se, but I just didn't want to have that huge investment to start with. I just want to get on there, start seeing how things works, and then maybe next, well, even this fall maybe, but for sure next summer, then look at going, getting a little bit better digital or something, or maybe even something to mount in the truck, or both. So, yeah, I mean, obviously you have the handhelds, and then you can go one step up and be like a portable rig that you can mount in your vehicle. And those typically are, I guess, this quote, standard frequencies, what most people have access to. So, as a technician, you have access to the VHF and UHF primarily, and that's where a lot of your... new communications, more local communications happen. And then they're saying HF, that's the way to go. High frequency, that's the way to go. With high frequency, that's where you have the stereotypical talking to people from Russia or China or other countries. You're talking to people from other countries. That's where the quote action happens. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm an introvert. I don't know if that appeals to me, talking to other people. I mean, I'm talking to other people through here, but no one's talking back. So I can just talk with whatever I want. But so we'll see how it goes. We'll see. My primary reasoning for it is weather. As I am understanding, a lot of... storm chasers are also ham radio operators. So I want to be able to kind of start listening on what they're saying. And also a public safety thing. You know, I don't know what kind of areas you guys may live in, but I'm in an area where there are places in Minnesota you still don't get cell phone signal. And I'm sure there's other places in the country that have the same similar things. Well, how are you going to find out where that tornado is, or how are you going to read the radar if you can't download the radar? So that is where my thinking is by going in on the ham bands of kind of filling that gap. So we'll see. That could be a new cool adventure. It could also be the basis for the next Dog Days of podcasting, where I had 30 days of talking about weather related stuff. May I have 30 days about talking about the adventures of getting a ham license and what it is like to get a ham license. So. A few things to kind of think about as we kind of go along, and I think it'd be kind of cool to talk about that. So we'll have to see. See where life takes me. So, and assuming I like it, I will probably then pursue the next level up license, which a lot of people say is where you should go next. It's just go ahead and get your general license. That's the second level. And then you can be on just about any frequency you want, or pretty close. There's one step above that gives you in the allotted amateur bands complete and total freedom. general is just a little bit below that. So for sure I would do the general if I go too much further. The next level up was it extra, amateur extra, something like that. It sounds like it's a much more complicated test. And there's 50 questions. It's no longer 35. So I'm not entirely sure I'd probably go to that extreme. But most people say, you know, once you get into the general license, that's where your fun begins. As I understand, that's also where the expenses really begin. Because they were talking about a desktop radio, a, you know, radio that you put into your ham shack, in quotes, that everyone's raving about, apparently is extremely popular. It's only $1,200. I'm not sure I could ask my wife for that. And that's just the receiver. You also need a power supply, and you need an antenna, and you need this, and you need that. And honestly, I don't even know what all I need. So now you're talking mega bucks. So I don't know where that will take me, going on the high frequency bands. But at the very least, having it is half the fun, I suppose. And there's a whole market, I think, for used stuff. I just need to ask questions and start looking when I get that far. Or work with the local radio group to gain that missing knowledge and understanding. So I got things to learn. I got things to do. I just need to get on the frequencies, as they say. So I'm going to wrap it up here. I got a nice long episode here. Hopefully you can hear okay. And I will talk to you next time. And as they say in the ham world when they sign off, 73.
The intro music was Funkily Dugatitude by the late Derek K. Miller. The outro is Always Evermore by Eric Dietrich. You can contact me on most social networks with the username Mike Wills, one word. You can email me at mike@mikewills.me. You can find any show notes and my blog at mikewills.me. Thank you for listening, and come back again.